Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the best, eat a broken, eat a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad vintage, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny went to bed an hour and a half ago, right after she snapped a 5-foot graphics at a Bond Road Kush hybrid in New York City, the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directed driving, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats and flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a town, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be shack out. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. The number is toll free to wax up on the mahogany. You can get on the bench yourself. Doesn't matter where you live. 844 toll free. 843-6879. Again, 844-843-6879. Any old idiot like me can remember that number. It's pretty easy, right? Like, so you're Gandhi. Just pick it up, dial, and dance, and you're in. We want to hear from you. What a night. I got to tell you, I am stressed out, Mafia. I'm stressed out. I mean, I can literally, I honestly, my heart was racing so fast. And it was, I mean, like, you talk about skipping a beat. You're talking about heart murmurs. You're talking about heart attacks. You're talking about arrhythmia. I had it all going. Because the Islander-Penguin game tonight was unbelievable. It really was an unbelievable playoff game. It had everything, including 9 goals. The Penguins won 5-4. 9 goals. I mean, endless penalties, endless fights, endless scrums, endless dirty, like, slashes and yanking people's, you know, collars, like from behind down to the ice, dirty shots with players on the ice, left and right. And I mean, it was just out of control. I thought, you know, the refs lost control of the game. In my opinion, without a doubt, I thought they lost control of the game. I thought that, you know, when they put 5 each in the penalty box for the huge fight at the Penguins goal, I have to tell you, they still haven't explained how the Islanders got a power play goal there. They've never told us how they got the power play. I think some fan explained it to me. It was Gensel's slash on Palmieri going up the sideboards 5 minutes after the whole thing ended. You know what I mean? It was like he was skating up the wall to go to the penalty box, and Gensel skated over. I think it was Gensel, and he slashed him. I could be wrong, but all I know is after the scrum, after that huge melee, after the fight broke out and every guy on the ice was involved in the fight, they put 10 guys in the penalty box. And then somehow the Islanders got a power play, and then they scored 10 seconds later. Of course they did. So I still can't figure out, like, if it's the slash, so be it. But there should have been no power plays off of that five each in the box. Oh, what a goal by the Canadiens. What a shorthanded goal. The shorty on his knees. Hey, now. He scored from his knees, sliding in. We welcome in our radio affiliates. Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near to you wanna. Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces, Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. And what a goal. I mean, that is just crazy. On his knees, and he somehow smacked it up over the goalie's shoulder. And it was a shorty. The Leafs were on the power play, and with just over 7 minutes left in the game in Toronto, the Canadiens are leading the Leafs 2-1. And then today on Coast to Coast, you know, Mafia, you remember I said, watch Montreal go in and beat the heavily favored Leafs. I will not be surprised at all if they lose to the Montreal Canadiens, who basically suck. I mean, they suck. And the Leafs were the power of the North. The Leafs were one of the best teams in the NHL this season, bar none. And the same old story. It's no different than the Edmonton Oilers, who they don't win. And the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. And here they go, in trouble, with 6.5 minutes to go. They're down 2-1, and they give up the game winner possibly on a shorthander with the guy on his knees. That's crazy.
It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of
superstition.
Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is
just a coincidence.
Take a breath.
And maybe a diabetes test.
We're your home for the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for on a bench, so, you know, all I know is the Penguins, you know, after that melee, I can't even keep track of it. Like, I couldn't even, like, try to find this right now if I tried. But all I know is after the melee around the Penguins' goal, they gave the Penguins, you know, or the Islanders got a power play out of it. So somehow, some way, they gave them a power play, and Bevilier tied it from Barzal and Dobson. That made it 3-3. And that was it. And they had the Penguins had a 3-1 lead after the second period, right? And then in the third period, you get the Clutterbuck goal, 3:46 in from Cizikas and Mayfield. That made it 3-2. And 2 minutes later, they get the whole melee happened, and then they give him a power play, and Bevilier scored, I mean, literally right off the faceoff. They scored like 10 seconds later. So they gave him the power play, and, I mean, it was real quick. They scored, and they tied it up, and the place was going absolutely apeshack. And then Carter scored on the power play from Malkin on a beautiful feed from Malkin underneath inside the circle to the left of the slot, and he went top shelf and made it 4-3. And then that was basically a minute later, Bevilier had scored to tie it. A minute later, Carter scores his second of the game, third of the playoffs of the series. And then 7 minutes later, Clutterbuck scores again to make it 4-all from Mayfield. Mayfield had this enormous game. He scored a goal that tied the game at ones. And then he assisted on Clutterbuck's, assisted on Clutterbuck again. And then the game's 4-all at that point. And then basically 2 minutes later, Tanev for the Penguins got in and batted one out of the sky. It was under the crossbar. And it was as simple as that. They could look at it all day. It was under the crossbar, and he hit it in, and he batted it in. He batted it down and in and passed Varlamov. And they win it 5-4. There was really no questions asked. When they scored the goal, Pierre and John, who were cheering for the Islanders all night, fact. Did you watch the game, Mafia?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it with the sound off, though.
Oh, so you watched it with the sound off?
I had it going on the table while I was doing other stuff, so the sound was off.
Okay, well, these two were cheering for them all night. I mean, I'm just telling it like it is. I'm not even going to pick sides here. I already know I'm the bad guy. We're on the road. I get it. But, I mean, it was so obvious when Mayfield tied it up at ones, they went crazy calling the goal. And then 2 minutes later, Carter scored, and he acted like he was at a funeral. And then every time they scored, Forslund went nuts. And Pierre was saying after Tanev scored the goal to make it 5-4, he's like, that might have been a high stick. He batted it out over in the air. Like, these two were rooting for the Islanders all night. The barn was rocking. They talked about the crowd. They talked about the atmosphere. They talked about their desire, their heart, their attack, their forecheck, their dominance, their physicality. They're tougher than the Penguins. They're meaner. They fight better. No one can beat up Martin. The whole night they were just on their knees. And then Tanev scored, and the Penguins won the game 5-4, drive home safely. So here's to John Forslund and Pierre knobbing each other all night with their love affair for the Islanders. And the big, barn that everybody's so scared of. Boom. 5-4, Pittsburgh. You lose. Have a nice day. Have a sandwich. And I want to hear what did they do to Cheater? What did they do to, how did the Islanders get screwed in the game with all the power plays they got and all their, I'll never understand how they got a power play off of that 5-on-5 penalty box fight. If you weren't listening, then you weren't watching, so you don't even know. But that fight was started by Palmieri. That fight was carried out by everyone on the ice, even 5-on-5. Everyone went to the box. Suddenly they give them a power play, and they couldn't even explain it. Forslund and Pierre couldn't even explain the power play. They never said what it was for. They just said they got a power play. Here they go. Boom, they scored. And they still lost. Boom. Letang had a goal, 2 assists. Carter had 2 goals. Mayfield had a 3-point night. I thought it was a great game. Islanders had 4 power plays in the game to the Penguins, 2. They both had a power play goal. And, Penguins blocked 18 shots. Islanders, 17. Islanders had 14 giveaways. I think that was one of their problems. They won the faceoffs. They won the hits, 46-29. They won the shots, the Islanders, 30-27. And they won the faceoffs 52%, and they lost the game. It is what it is. I'll tell you what, That place is brutal to win in. I mean, absolutely brutal to win there. It's clearly a hostile environment. And they only had 6,000 fans there. You would have thought it was sold out. It was so loud and crazy. And they the one thing I got a kick out of was they scream Crosby all night. They don't stop yelling Crosby. And it doesn't affect the Penguins or Crosby one lick. I think they're stupid enough to think that it does. They scream the same thing the whole game. Crosby. Like, you know, that one's so old and soft. I remember going to games my whole life and you'd yell the goalie's name. And that's pathetic too, right? Like at this point. Do you honestly, or how about this one? Your boy Komarov's just starting Shaq with Malkin on the bench for 10 minutes, screaming and yelling at Malkin. And Malkin's sitting there as calm as ever, and Komarov slamming his stick on the wall and screaming and yelling at Malkin, screaming and yelling at him, turning purple. And Malkin's got 3 Stanley Cups. He's got 3 rings. Crosby, 2. So Crosby's got 3. Malkin's got 3. Penguins got 5. Islanders got 4. You can yell all you want. You can try to act tough. You can say whatever you want when you're Komarov and you have nothing, or you have Malkin who's got 3 rings. Who's the sucker? You can say whatever you want. I got 3 rings. My name is engraved on the Stanley Cup 3 times. Shut the Pharrell up, bro. Shut up. No one cares what you think. You're nobody. Keep hitting players. Keep playing dirty. Do whatever you want. You've got nothing. Crosby and Malkin are going to the Hall of Fame. How's that taste? And I'm right. And everybody knows it. That's the end of the story. Boom. Say whatever you want. I'm sitting there watching this clown screaming and yelling after all of his hits and fights. And it doesn't faze Malkin one bit because he's got all the money and all the rings and all the cups. And Crosby, Christ, he's got even more than that. Olympic gold, you name it. I mean, he's got it all. So later on the show, we're going to talk to Chris Russell from Team 980 in D.C. And then in the second hour, Michael Williams on the PGA Championship. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So the Leafs just lost to the Canadians 2-1. Byron with the shorthander late with 7 minutes left. On his knees. I'm not even kidding you. The guy got away, skated in, fell down, was sliding on his knees, somehow poked the puck up in the air over the goalie's shoulder from Armia, Byron. 2-1, Montreal wins it. Carey Price, unbelievable. Again, this guy, all he does is win. And when it matters, he's a great goalie. There's no questions asked. I mean, honestly. So, Montreal had 5 power plays, 4 for the Leafs. Nobody scored on the power play. You get a shorty for Montreal to win it. They blocked 13 shots. I mean, they won all the faceoffs 39-31. They had more hits 55-27. And they got outshot 36-30 by the Leafs. I find it unbelievable. I really do. Carey Price, 35 saves, 97%. And he gave up 1 goal. and Nylander had it at 4:28 of the second. I have to tell you, seriously, your guy Campbell was the goalie tonight that had such a good season for them. He made 28 saves, gives up the shorthander, though, and they lose. It's amazing to me that 35-14-7, the Leafs, Montreal 24-21-11. I mean, they barely were over 500, and they beat the Leafs in game one in Toronto, and it is beyond me. Now, obviously, they could still win the series. They could come back, win game two, go win game three, four, who knows? But it truly is remarkable to me how, like I said today on Coast to Coast, I will not be surprised at all if Montreal wins the game and beats the Leafs, because all the Leafs ever do is gag. That's all they ever do is lose in the playoffs. It is so unbelievable, the streak that they're on since 1967. It really is. And I make fun of, like, the Sixers since 83. You know, I'm on there making fun of the Sixers. They can't win one since 83. What do you do with somebody that hasn't won one since 1967? And the Flyers are 75. So those two are like the longest in the league. I don't care if they've been in finals, Philly, whatever. They still lose. I don't care if the Sixers have been there. I don't care if the Flyers have been there. They still lose. The Leafs, all they do is lose. It's unbelievable. It truly is the most remarkable thing. They are one of the highest priced teams in the league. They got all these star players. They got gigantic contracts. They charge New York Yankee prices to watch them play hockey. You can't even afford to go to a Leafs game living in Toronto unless you're rich. They've priced out the average fan. The average Leafs fan can't even go to that building because they can't afford it. It's for rich people only, and they go and watch them lose every year. It is truly unbelievable. I mean, it is the most... It's so crazy. It's not even funny. Like, it's gotten to the point where they're so bad that I actually, like, live to see it every year. I enjoy it now. I lather up in it. Like, I can't get enough of watching them swing and miss every single effing year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is it not, Mafia? It really is. It is the craziest thing ever. For the money that they spend, for the payroll they have, for the cost of tickets, everything about the Leafs says New York Yankees. I mean, they are. I mean, Montreal's got a way better history, but the Leafs spend way more money than everybody. And they are the Shangri-La of NHL franchises in terms of money and prestige and everything else. And they never win it, Mafia. They never get it done, ever. I mean, do you remember when the Boston came back from 7 goals down to beat them? I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up.
No, every year they're up there and they have great record and then they flop. And it's usually against Boston or, you know, one of the other Northeast teams. Like, usually it's one of these other teams knocking them out. Now it's going to be, you know, possibly their own brethren. That was the funny thing. Like, oh, they haven't played each other in 42 years. Like, well, usually because Montreal sucks and doesn't make the playoffs. And Toronto doesn't make it past the second round. So it's not that surprising that they haven't played each other in 40-something years. They haven't been good together in 40-something years. And they're not good together now. It was just they had that whack-ass North Division where we had to let 4 teams in. I mean, honestly, the Montreal Canadiens wouldn't deserve to be in, you know, even the 10th, 11th, 12th seed of the East probably if we had a regular schedule this year. But that's just the way things worked out. So now they actually get to play each other with this ridiculous, you know, way that things are played this year in the NHL. And maybe David knocks out Goliath here. I mean, I know, like you said, Montreal has the bigger history, and they think they're better than everybody with the way that, you know, you got to speak French or they don't like you and all this other, you know, business that they put out there. But still, like you said, Toronto is the big money one. That's the one that everyone knows. That's what everyone follows. That is the, you know, center of hockey for them in Canada, and it just hasn't lived up to anything because all they care about is offense, offense, offense. And then when it comes time to stop the puck, they can't do it. When a guy's on his knees and sliding into the zone, they can't stop him, and he scores a game winner.
I mean, a shorthanded game winner on his knees. I mean, He was sliding. He was absolutely been tripped and was sliding 20 miles an hour across the crease and somehow got his stick on that puck and put it in. He was sliding. He must have slid for 30 feet, and then he put it in. It was unbelievable. You're right. They don't play defense. That's just all there is to it. And they don't win big games.
Every guy they don't win big games. Every trade they make, every signing they do, it's a forward or a center. It's not a defenseman, not a goalie.
It's true. It's so true. It's not even funny. They're showing Pittsburgh's 18-7 in series when leading 2-1, but they always lose to the Islanders. They're 1-4 against them lifetime in the playoffs. So their lead is 2-1. Big win tonight for them in Long Island. And Tanev had the winner, and he is a savage, that guy Tanev. I mean, he absolutely plays his ass off. He had the game winner tonight. The guy's all over the ice. He skates like the wind. He is faster than a mosquito. And the guy's just a troublemaker. He reminds me of Kenny Linsman. He's just all over the ice, making plays, hits, steals, you name it. He's crazy, too. He's the craziest guy on the team, hands down. I love his game. They got to keep him in Pittsburgh on that hockey team. You know what I mean? It's like at some point they got to keep some of these guys. CC has played great in Pittsburgh on defense. They got to keep him. I love Jason Zucker. Keep him. Sign him. The Carter thing, I don't know how that's going to work out. But Jeff Carter scored 9 goals in 14 games with the Penguins, and he's got 3 playoff goals already. I mean, he's already paid himself off. That is the best deal in the NHL at the trade deadline mafia, bar none, bar none. All right, so the other one tonight, which was stunning, was the Panthers' overtime win against the Lightning in Tampa. I can't even believe it. Lomberg has the winner, breaking in a breakaway goal almost 6 minutes into overtime to cap a wild comeback. You have no idea. The Lightning scored 5 goals in the second period. And in the first period, it was 2-0 at the end of one. The Panthers were up. And then at the end of two, it was 5-3. They scored 1 goal, a power play goal, Wennberg, in the second, 12 minutes in, right? The Panthers. But they had given up goals to Cirelli, Colton, Stamkos, Point on the power play, and Killorn on the power play. It was 5-3 Islanders. And then Patrick Hornqvist on the doorstep deflected one in off his skate to make it 5-4, a minute 45 into the third. And then basically with three minutes left in the game, Forsling scored from Wennberg and Hornqvist to tie it. And then Lomberg in overtime from Vetrano and Gudas, and they beat him. I mean, that is inexplicable. How do you blow? You score 5 goals in the second period and you lose the game on home ice and you're the defending Stanley Cup champs. Can someone explain that to me? I mean, you can't even make it up. Huberto had 3 assists for the Panthers. Gudas had a goal and an assist. Lomberg, the game winner in overtime, the left winger, the least likely guy on the ice, Lomberg, scores the game winner. That's crazy. Huge win. They were down 2-0 in the series after the Lightning kicked their ass twice in Sunrise. And now you got a series because they won in Tampa at Amalie. And it's 2-1 now. So all the series are shaping up to be fantastic. And right now the Wild lead the Knights after one at the XL in Minneapolis on goals from Erickson and Hartman. Hartman scored first 2:16 into the game, and then 8:30 in Erickson and Foligno and Dumba and the assists on that one. They lead Vegas and Fleury 2-0 in Mini. We got a lot going on here tonight on the bench.
Winning isn't a mystery. It's remaking the odds in your favor by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights. Where do you get this information? Right here. Well, duh. Get the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. For the dude that called from South Carolina, went to the PGA today to chase the Pharrellmaker trophy. Hopefully, Brandon will call back at the top of the hour. We'll talk golf with him. Plus, Michael Williams talking about the PGA in the second hour. Right now, though, our good friend Chris Russell from D.C., he was on the Fan forever. Now he's on Team 980, does afternoon drive, and it's good to have him back on the bench. How you doing, Chris? Good to see you again, at least to hear you, to have you on the show, my man. Hope you're well.
Scotty, good to be on with you guys, and I was just catching up with Mafia. It's great to be on with both of you guys and everyone, and you know, I appreciate you having me. It's good to hear your voice, my friend.
Hey, so tell me briefly before we talk about the Wizards and Capitals.
Yeah,
you were doing the Fan forever, and you were doing some national shows with CBS,
right?
And then how did you end up doing the afternoon gig on this other station? What do they own, both of them?
Yeah, so it's a long story. So they were forever competitors. The station I'm on now, which is the Team 980, was owned by Dan Snyder and the Redskins when I worked there for 5 years. Right. Doing shows out of that building, which is a rotten, rotten, rotten place. And so when they fired my ass in 2015, after 6 years, I went back over to the Fan. That's when I was coming up, you know, like in 18 and 19, I was coming up and working after your show in New York, right? And then that ended. Right. And I was still with the Fan for a little while, but then Entercom bought this station, 980, from another owner, and so they have now both stations, the Fan and the Team 980 here in D.C., and I do afternoon drive on one, and with my partner Pete Medhurst, who does Navy football. He's like the voice of Navy football. Sometimes he does, you know, the Nationals game. So yeah, we got a good little thing going, 3 to 7, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, we're doing okay in the ratings. So what do you know? They said AM was dead, Scotty, but I guess it's not dead yet. So we're keeping it alive.
There was a guy that I knew, unless I'm tripping, you'll have to ask your partner. He does Navy football. I think this guy, like, and this is really out of the blue, I'm throwing this name. So this guy, I think when I left Indiana, and I'm talking 35 years ago, right, at IU, he was the assistant SID at Indiana, and I think he went to Navy. I think he went to Annapolis, and his name was Eric Rudin. And I think I wonder if he has been the SID at Navy all these years. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know that name, Scotty.
I don't know that name. I know Scott Strassmeyer, who's very involved over Navy athletics over there. And, you know, like I said, my guy Pete Medhurst, my co-host, is, you know, the voice of their football, and he does a bunch of other sports, you know, during non-football season. But I don't know that name, but I could be missing it. Here's what I know. It's a daily challenge just for me whenever I have to report, say the name Ken Niumatalolo, but I somehow get through it, that football coach, without completely butchering it. I butcher everything else, but I don't usually butcher that name.
All right, so let's talk about tonight. I bet on the Wizards tonight, and they absolutely humiliated the Pacers. I wasn't buying the Pacers over the last 2 months. I think I was leaning more on that Bjorkgren was going to get fired, that they played terrible, that the players didn't like him. There was coaches fighting with players. There was chaos. Then all of a sudden they show up for that play-in game, and they roast the Hornets and blow them out, and it was humiliating, and I still didn't buy it with all their injuries, no LeVert, all the rest. I wasn't buying them, so I bet on the Wizards tonight. I said Beal and Westbrook aren't having two bad games in a row, and they kicked their ass tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, absolutely. I mean, Beal, 25, and, you know, he didn't play, obviously, you know, any of the fourth quarter, and Russell Westbrook only played 33 minutes, so they got them some rest. But really, you know, like, for me, Scott, this team, of course, it's about Beal and Westbrook, but it really is about the sum of the other parts. Their bench is much better this year than it really ever has been. You look at a guy like Daniel Gafford, who, even though he doesn't play a lot of minutes, he was acquired from the Bulls at the trade deadline. All he does is get easy baskets, rebound, play some great defense above the rim. He had 5 blocks in 22 minutes tonight, 13 rebounds. I mean, if he can stay out of foul trouble, and if he can build up his endurance, he's going to be an all-star. It's so crazy because they got him for a bag of used basketballs at the trade deadline from the Chicago Bulls. But you know, he's just one piece of that. I mean, like a guy like Gill, who had 10 points, he shows up once every couple of games. Ish Smith was awesome the other night in Boston. Not as good tonight, but, you know, pretty active, and he does a lot of different things. You know, Bertans, when they bring him in off the bench, you know, he's a sharp shooter, and if you give him any space, he'll knock down a three. So they've got a good bench in addition to Westbrook and Beal when those guys are on. And, of course, Beal's been dealing with the hamstring. You know, Westbrook was off a little bit the other night. I would agree with you. I slammed the, I think it was 3.5 I got them at. I thought the Wizards were going to win this game pretty convincingly, A, because you mentioned Indiana had a couple of injuries. B, I thought they were coming in fat and happy, where the Wizards were coming in a little, you know, salty and upset about their performance for the most part in Boston the other night. So while the final score and the discrepancy surprised me, it doesn't surprise me that the Wizards won and covered.
Yeah, Gafford, 15 points, 13 boards. I thought Lopez played well in his very short stint. He had 9 points. He was 4 of 5 from the floor, all easy buckets. Bertans had nine.
He's been really good. Robin Lopez has been tremendous for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and he's so big and physical. He and his brother have always been that garbage. They get all that dirty stuff in the low block, and they play. And he had a huge block shot against Brogdon in that game. Brogdon went in with a scoop shovel and got swatted. That was incredible. I did want to say, you know, the guy that stood out to me, and by the way, you said Ish Smith was active. You're right about that. 8, 4, and 6. I'll take that every day in 20 minutes. Hachimura is a badass, too. He put up 18 for him tonight. And I didn't think, you know, Westbrook just missed the triple-double, but it doesn't matter. They needed to win the game. Tonight wasn't about Westbrook's triple-doubles and stats any more than the other night was when they lost. I thought they played terrible against Boston in the second half. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing that was so disappointing, because normally they're a terrible team at the start of a game, you know, first quarter. Now, tonight they were okay. In Boston, they got off to a brutal start. Then they started to turn it up, you know, last couple of minutes of the first quarter. Then they kicked their ass in the second quarter, and you thought, okay, this is a Wizards type of game now, because they had a small lead at the half, but usually they're better in the fourth quarter and even in the third quarter, and then they completely fell asleep at the wheel, and it was almost like the reverse of tonight, where they had, what, the 16-0 run or whatever it was tonight to kind of spur them and to kind of open up the game. Well, you know, that was the kind of run. I don't think it was 16-0. I think it was like 16-2 or something like that, or whatever the number was for Boston in the third quarter on Tuesday night. And I got to be honest with you, Scotty, I mean, this shows you how much I've changed since we last worked together. I gamble all the time now, right? So I'm on, you know, I'm on my FanDuel Sportsbook, right? And I'm like, you know, like trying to slam the Wizards in the fourth quarter on the money line, because I'm like, well, this is always a fourth quarter team on Tuesday, right? And they never, like, every basket that they would score, Boston would answer right back. And every basket they, you know, and Boston just had an answer for every, and of course, when you have a guy as good as they have and he pops 50 and you don't cover him half the time, that's going to happen. So, you know, that was disappointing. This is obviously, you know, I don't want to say unexpected, but the ease was unexpected. Now you go to Philadelphia and you see what happens, you know, with that matchup. Listen, I don't think they're going to win that matchup, but I think they can certainly give them, you know, at least a push here and at least a challenge. I'd be very surprised if Washington gets swept. I'm not saying that they will, that they won't, but I'd be very surprised if they get swept. I think it'll be a pretty decent series.
But they, I think they, am I wrong that they played them three times or something and they lost every game to them?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. You know, but this is a different team, Scott. You know, like early on in the year, I mean, Westbrook could hardly even run. He had like a torn quad, like a partially torn quad. He wasn't playing on back-to-backs. You know, half the team had COVID. They had to miss 2 weeks. Then it took them another couple of weeks to just kind of get back into the rotation. I mentioned Ish Smith, obviously, has been a factor. He missed about 6 weeks. After that, they didn't have Gafford. So this is a much different team, I think, since the last time the Sixers saw them. Again, I'm not saying that the Sixers are not going to win the series, but I think Washington will give them a pretty good push here.
So the Capitals got burned by Marchand in overtime at home, and then it was 1-1, and then they went to Boston and lost in overtime last night on an ugly play by Samsonov. And Schultz, the two of them screwed up that play behind the goal. And Smith, the least likely guy in the world, came swooping in, stole it, wrap around Tink, game over. That was embarrassing the way that ended for him. Do you think they're in trouble?
Oh, they're in trouble. There's no doubt about it. But here's the thing that I would just remind everybody, and I said this a couple times on my show. I don't know if you agree, and I know you love the Pucks, and I know you watch everything, Scotty. Really, this series has been pretty even, right? I mean, of course, three overtime games, that's going to tell you that. But I thought Washington, even without Lars Eller last night, even with Kuznetsov coming back from being a dodo and getting COVID for a second time, and along with Samsonov, who had missed, who hadn't played in 3 weeks. I think Washington is right there, and if they do a couple of little things, it's not like they can't be up 3-0. Now, I could probably make the reverse argument and say they could be down 0-3, because remember, the only game they won, Saturday night game one, Boston probably outplayed them in that overtime, and then Washington eventually won. But I would point out last night, they won in the faceoff circle. They had been getting absolutely destroyed in that area. They killed off a 5-on-3 early in the first period. That was a good sign. Not that you want to be down 5-on-3, but they killed it off with relative ease. Samsonov stood on his head for much of that game. They continue to get great production. Scotty, you watch a lot of hockey. Nick Dowd has had an unfreaking believable year as the fourth line center, and Garnett Hathaway, he's been on that fourth line along with Carl Hagelin, who some people around the country know from his days with the Rangers and the Penguins. Those guys have been together almost every single game this year. That fourth line has kicked some ass. Did you know this? I didn't know this, and I've watched every Capitals playoff game since, 2008, 2009, whatever it is, the entire Ovechkin era. He's never scored a goal in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He's never scored a goal in the playoffs in overtime, as great as that guy is. It's absolutely amazing. So if they go into overtime again tomorrow night in Beantown, they're going to need the grade eight to step up and deliver a W in overtime. Of course, they'll take it in regulation, but they need somebody to make a big play for them, and they didn't get it last night.
I'll tell you what, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought they outplayed the Bruins, and I thought they blew the game. They should have won that game. They hit two pipes in overtime. I thought they should have won the game, but they didn't, and now they've got to really work, and Ovechkin has to carry him to that win. Hey, it's good catching up, Chris. Next time we'll talk about the football team, talk about the Nats problems. I got to run. It's great having you on. Thanks for talking Wizards and Caps with us. All the best, man. Keep rocking in the afternoons on 980.
Thanks, baby. Right, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
My man, Chris Russell in D.C. at 980, the team on the bench. So, Mafia, we'll come back. We got a lot going on. Later, second hour, we'll talk to Mike Williams about the PGA. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condoning it at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
So, Mafia, good job by you. You looked up Navy and brought up all their power brokers in their athletics department. And sure enough, the one guy that you sent me is some guy that left Indiana in 91 and became like the SID or something like that, right? But the guy I know, I think originally he went there to be the SID. And then now he's the deputy director of athletics. And I was at Indiana with Eric Rudin back in the day when I was just a young punk going to college at IU. And he was the reason, basically, that I got lucky and got into radio. He was like, he introduced me to this guy who was like the big shot sportscaster in town in Bloomington. And he took me to a party, and I got loaded with this guy. And the next thing you knew, he gave me my shot, and the rest is history. So I never forgot Eric Rudin's name. I can guarantee you that. And we looked him up, and sure enough, he's at Navy all these years later. 34 years at Navy, I think he's been there. I could be wrong, but he's definitely still there. And I knew he had gone to Navy all those years ago. And he was just a really cool guy. He lived next door to me in college in this apartment complex off campus. And we used to just pound beer. And he thought I was half nuts, which I was, and which I am. So, and I know that guy knows what I ended up doing in life, that I ended up doing what I've done and gotten pretty big in radio and TV and stuff like that and national radio. So I'm going to email him and shock him tomorrow morning when he wakes up and goes to his office. I know he's not expecting to hear from me tomorrow after 34 years. But nice job by Mafia pulling it up. I scrolled down. I go, that's not my guy. You go, that guy's from Indiana. I go, no, it's this guy. I found him. Sure enough, I found him. Hour two coming up.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.